Judges chapter 15. The verse of scripture we'd like to leave with you this morning from the passage we have read is that verse 18. Verse 18 reads, "And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." Samson was soon to discover that he had more enemies than the uncircumcised Philistines to contend with. For the men of Judah, who had been content to remain under the yoke of Israel's enemies, became traitors and betrayers of Samson. And they opposed him, whom God raised up to begin to deliver Israel. And instead of marching 3,000 men against the Philistines, instead the men of Judah, 3,000 of them, marched against one man, that one man being Samson. This is what we considered last Lord's Day morning. Instead of the men of Judah marching against the oppressors, they instead marched against the one man who could be their liberator. So we noted Samson and his traitors. But when all men seemed to have forsaken Samson and turned against him, we then read that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And with the jawbone of an ass in his hand, he went out and single-handedly slew 1,000 Philistines. Here was, you recall, Samson and his triumph. And what a triumph it was. And dear believer, when the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon an individual, there is no telling what that individual might do and can do. Indeed, in the words of Moses, we could say that one shall chase 1,000, and 2 shall put 10,000 to flight. So we have here, and what we have considered thus far was Samson's traitors and Samson's triumph. Now this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to look at Samson and his thirst. Now here in these verses before us, or these words before us, in verse 18 we have Samson's pain. After he had slain 1,000 Philistines, it is written, "And he was sore athirst." Samson's battle, in which he had put forth all of his might and all of his strength, had left Samson thirsting for water. And this reminds us of that one who was greater than Samson. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ had faced his enemies and put forth his might and his power and all of his strength against the enemies that surrounded him at Calvary. We are told that from his lips came the words, "I thirst." Indeed, the tense of the words indicate that the Lord Jesus cried again and again, "I thirst, I thirst, I thirst." Now, following Samson's great victory, we have here recorded for us Samson's words. We're told here something of what Samson said after he had silenced the men of Judah, who had turned against him, and after he had slain the Philistines. What did Samson say? We're told in verse 16, Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. So we see here that in the words of Samson, he's rejoicing in this great victory over the Philistines. Indeed, we could say that Samson is boasting over his victory against the Philistines. But unfortunately, Samson was not boasting in the Lord. The only person that he mentions here is himself. "Have I slain 1,000 men? Had he soon forgotten that the Spirit of the Lord had come mightily upon him? That it was the Spirit of the Lord who had enabled him to slay the Philistines? That it was the Spirit of the Lord who had given him the victory? Indeed, I believe that Samson had more to say about his victory than is recorded here. Because if you look in verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking." Now you come across that little phrase again and again in Scripture, "and it came to pass." And those words usually indicate the passing of a length of time. And so in verse 16 we read what is recorded of what Samson said. And then the next verse, "and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking." There is only a little of what Samson said, his boasting, only a little of that is recorded in Scripture. You see, the words that come from an individual who is boasting are really not worth recording. Not worth giving attention to. I believe that was the case here with Samson. And indeed the words spoken by Joash to Amaziah might well have been spoken to Samson. "And thine heart lifted thee up to boast." Samson's heart had lifted him up to boast. It would have been better after such a victory if Samson had said with the psalmist, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And believer, whenever God blesses us with victory, we ought to give thanks to Almighty God, because we have nothing to boast in of ourselves. What are we? We're nothing. All that we are and all that we ever will be, we owe it to God alone. And every victory that he gives us over our Philistines, we ought to give God the glory. Let us not be like Samson and lift up our own name and boast in ourselves of what we have done and what we have accomplished. Anything we have done, the Lord ought to be given the glory. So you have Samson's words. Next we find here, mention is made of Samson's weapon. The words of Samson that are recorded. Samson had much to say about the weapon that was in his hand, that he used to slay the Philistines. We're told there that in verse 15 he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Philistines had come against Samson. He had no sword or spear in his hand. And in the providence of God, there was the jawbone of a beast of burden just there where Samson was. And we read that Samson reached forth and he took it. Samson reached for this weapon. And what was it? Nothing more than a jawbone. Nothing more than a jawbone. And yet, with that weapon in his hand, Samson was enabled to slay 1,000 Philistines. You see, dear believer, as we mentioned last week, in the hands of the Lord's people, the Lord can take the most despised things and use them to accomplish his purposes and to bring about his plans. We mentioned last week that Moses had a rod in his hand, nothing more than a rod. And yet that rod in the hand of Moses, God used it to divide the waters of the Red Sea. With nothing more than a stone in his hand, God sent David out against the giant of Gath. And God used a stone in the hand of David to slay Goliath. A rod, a stone, a jawbone. It's true. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. If you go in Jesus' name. Samson reached for the weapon. Samson rejoiced in the weapon. As we have seen, Samson failed to give glory to God for the victory. Now he exalts the weapon that he had in his hand. Verse 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000. He's boasting in what he did with that jawbone. You can see Samson there standing on the battlefield amidst the heaps of dead Philistines. And he's raising that jawbone in the air and he's boasting, I slew all these men with this jawbone. He's rejoicing in that jawbone. He didn't give glory to God. He didn't praise the Lord for his victory. He praised the weapon that he had in his hand. In fact, you see that from the name that he gave to the place. For we read in verse 17, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. And the word means, the name means, the lifting up of the jawbone. And so you can see how Samson was giving glory and praising this weapon he had in his hand. He's giving more glory to the weapon than he is to God. And you know, whenever you do that, that thing becomes an idol. And that jawbone in the hand of Samson was fast becoming an idol. Samson was really saying, look at what I have done with this jawbone. Why didn't he say, look at what I have done because the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon me? It reminds us of that brazen serpent that the Lord told Moses to make. He was to put it on a pole, and he was to lift it up in the midst of the children of Israel, and everyone who looked to that brazen serpent lived. But then that brazen serpent became an idol. So that when Hezekiah came to the throne, Hezekiah removed all the high places and all the idols, including the brazen serpent. 2 Kings 18 and verse 4. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. And if you have a Bible margin, you'll see that the name Nehushtan means a piece of brass. You can see what Hezekiah was teaching the people. They had made this brazen serpent an idol, burning incense to it. And Hezekiah comes to the throne, that godly man, and he takes the brazen serpent and he breaks it in pieces and he calls it Nehushtan and he tells the children of Israel, it's nothing more than a piece of brass. Why are you burning incense to a piece of brass? That's all it is. It may have been used to save your forefathers when they sinned against God. But remember, it's nothing more than a piece of brass. And that's what Samson should have realized. That which he held in his hand was nothing more than a piece of bone. And that piece of bone had become an idol. But then we notice Samson rejected the weapon. Had he come to realize that he had boasted too much and exalted, said too much about the weapon he had? For we read in verse 17, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone. Doesn't say that he set it to one side or he just left it down. No, he cast it away. The words would indicate that he cast it from him, threw it as far away as possible. Hezekiah cast away the brazen serpent because it had become an idol. Samson now cast away the weapon which was fast becoming an idol in his eyes. You know, that's what we ought to do with our idols. And we all have them. And believe if there's anything in your life that takes the place of the Lord, it's an idol. If there's anything in your life that keeps you from prayer, that thing is an idol. If there is anything in your life that hinders your walk with God and your fellowship with God, that thing is an idol. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, physical or material, that keeps you from God, that is an idol. And you ought to cast it from you. If you do not, there's every possibility the Lord will take it from you. We should heed the words of William Cowper. William Cowper wrote, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." See, God is a jealous God, and he will not have another God in our life take his place. So cast the idol from you if it's keeping you from God. So we have Samson's words, Samson's weapon, and now look at Samson's weakness. After all of this, we read in verse 18, "And he was sore athirst." There's his weakness. Because we read that later when he received water, he was revived again. The strength came to him again. And he revived, but while he thirsted for water, he was weak. He had battled with the Philistines. He had slain 1,000 of them. He was thirsty and weak. Indeed, he was so weak that Samson believed he was at the point of death. "And now shall I die of thirst." Verse 18. I look at this weakness of Samson and I see, first of all, that it was an honorable weakness. There was honor in this weakness that Samson experienced. It was no disgrace for Samson to be so weak at that time. In slaying 1,000 Philistines, it is evident that Samson was prepared to spend and be spent for the Lord. He was prepared to spend and be spent for God. After all, that's what God had raised him up for. He had raised him up to be Israel's deliverer. He had raised him up to remove the yoke of bondage that the Philistines had placed on Israel. We see here then that Samson had gone out against the enemy and had given his all. He had given his everything. And now he was weak and weary and felt he was going to die. There's honor in that weakness. Tell me, when was the last time we worked ourselves to the point of physical exhaustion for the Lord? And it was the last time. We worked ourselves to the position, to the place. We were so weak we couldn't go any further. It was Samson. When was the last time we were prepared to spend and be spent for the Lord? I will use any excuse at all to getting out of doing something for the Lord. We'll avoid, use all our skill and effort to avoid doing something for the Lord. What a shame that is. And Christ has done so much for us. For he was willing to spend and be spent. Samson reminds me of one of Paul's co-laborers. His name is Epaphroditus. In Philippians 2 and verse 30, you read about Epaphroditus. This is what Paul had to say about this man. Because for the work of Christ, mark the words. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Not regarding his life. To supply your lack of service toward me. Epaphroditus did it all for Christ. He was so involved and so taken up with the work of Jesus Christ that he was nigh unto death. He was willing to spend and be spent. Then I notice not only is it an honorable weakness, but notice the hour of his weakness. Samson, we're told, became thirsty and weak following the slaying of 1,000 men. In other words, following a great victory. Was ever a victory accomplished by one man as this victory? Slaying 1,000 men. Read of a dear man just this past week. He was out walking in the park and the young fellow came up beside him and almost knocked him over, and the man made some comment. And before he knew it, 16 young fellas come out of the bushes and set upon him. Broke his leg and broke his ankle in two places. He had no strength against 16 young men. You imagine what it would be like if 16 individuals set upon us? What hope would we have? Samson slew 1,000. 1,000 men rushed on Samson and he slew every one of them. They had no might against this man. And it was after this great victory that Samson, we're told, was so weak. You know, that's so typical. It's always after a victory that we find that we are at our weakest. Whether it is the energy that we put forth in prayer and spending a day or a week in prayer, you can be sure that after a week of prayer, that's when you'll be at your weakest. Not when you'll be at your strongest. And here you have Samson, and he was at his weakest after that great victory. So it was with Elijah. For I read in 1 Kings 18. Remember, he had slain the false prophets of Baal. He had built the altar. He had called for fire to come from heaven. and consumed the sacrifice, and God answered his prayer. God had given Elijah a tremendous victory. But then we read in 1 Kings 19 and verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Verse 3. Elijah had just slain over 400 prophets of Baal. And yet, he hears these threatening words from Jezebel. And how does it affect him? Verse 3 says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Elijah's weak now. He's at his weakest. He's ready to die. He faced all the false prophets. And he defeated them. And now he hears the threatenings of a woman, Jezebel. And he runs for his life. Poor Elijah. He's weak in body. He's weak in spirit. He's weak in mind. Dear Christian, be aware of that time of weakness that follows a time of blessing. That's when the devil will come and overtake you. That's when he will set upon you. I want you to notice also, it was a humbling weakness. Wasn't too long ago that Samson was boasting about what he had done and what he had accomplished. Wasn't too long ago that Samson was lifting up that weapon, that jawbone, and boasting about what he had accomplished by it. He's not doing any boasting now. He's a weak man. For he believes that he's at the very point of death. Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. God brings Samson to the place where he's made to realize that he's nothing without God. He's brought him to the place where he's made to realize that instead of him being a strong man, he's really a very weak man. Was it Spurgeon who said that the best of men are only men at best? The strength that Samson had, it wasn't his own. It was the strength of God that had enabled Samson to slay the Philistines. And the Lord brings Samson to the place where he realizes that. And there he is at the point of death for the want of a drink of water. I tell you, dear believer, this morning, do not boast yourself of what you've done and of your accomplishments. The Lord can take them all away in an instant. Do not boast yourself and exalt yourself. Because the Lord can bring you to a place where you realize that you're nothing. Here Samson had become very self-centered, very self-confident. Dear believer, be careful. Be aware of becoming self-confident and self-centered. The Lord can put you on your back and have you to realize you have no strength of your own. And any strength you have comes from the mighty hand of God. And anything you own and anything you possess is not your own. It has come from the gracious hand of a gracious God. And Samson had to learn that lesson. And he can lay us all low. He can humble us all. And he can bring us to realize that truth that he gave to his disciples. When he said to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. What do you think of that? Without me, you can do nothing. Isaiah 5 and verse 15, we have these words. The mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. The mighty man shall be humbled. Samson was a mighty man, and Samson was humbled. We don't have time this morning to look at Samson's prayer. We'll consider that in the will of the Lord next Sabbath day. But what we have learned this morning about Samson, let us take it to heart. May the Spirit of the Lord apply the word to our hearts today. Let us unite now in prayer. Our God and our loving Father, we give thee thanks today for thy holy word. And thy word is ever settled in heaven. And Lord, these things we know are written for our learning. And we pray, our God, that we'll be wise and we'll give attention to the word. And grant, Lord, that these truths will be applied to our hearts. And have us to realize that we cannot live without God. The breath that's in our lungs now is our own. But the next is in the hand of God. And O Lord, it is in thee that we live and move and have our being. We ask thee, our God, that thou would bless all who will meet around thy table to remember thy death. For any, Lord, who must leave, may they leave with thy good hand upon them. And for any, Lord, who are not saved, they're not ready to meet God. I pray, Lord, this day thou would save them by thy grace. And bring them to that place called Calvary, where their sins may all be washed away. We ask these things in the Lord's name, and for his eternal glory. Amen.